On January 20th, 2025, Donald J. Trump was sworn in as the 47th president of the United States. He went immediately to work signing 46 presidential actions into place, including 26 executive orders. Immediate changes to energy policies, border security, and governmental operations were put in place by the stroke of a pen, with many more changes seemingly on the way. Learn what executive order could impact the gospel of the kingdom the most and forever change the lives of people all over the world on this episode of the Field Journal Podcast.
Navigate these uncharted times of chaos and confusion with the Field Journal Podcast, where each episode we decipher the events unfolding all around us with the steadfast truth of the kingdom story. Together, we'll focus on developing an eternal perspective so we can have peace and hope despite our circumstances. Now here's your guide, Kirk Buckner.
Welcome to the Field Journal Podcast, where we observe the world through the lens of the kingdom story, the story told in the Bible that provides us with insight and understanding to help us navigate these unprecedented times. After being sworn into office on January 20th, President Donald J. Trump went immediately to work executing 46 presidential actions on his first day in office. Of the 46, the first four were in regards to staffing. Of the remaining 26 of the executive orders, 12 were memorandums and 4 were proclamations. This was a clear signal for change, and that momentum continues day by day with new initiatives introduced by him and his newly appointed team. But there is one thing that caught my attention that I want to speak about in particular. It's Executive Order 14149. Let's take a look at it. It's titled Restoring Freedom of Speech and Ending Federal Censorship. Let me read you some of the order. Here's the purpose. The First Amendment to the United States Constitution, an amendment essential to the success of our republic, enshrines the right of the American people to speak freely in the public square without government interference. Over the past 4 years, the previous administration trampled free speech rights by censoring American speech on online platforms, often by exerting substantial coercive pressure on third parties, such as social media companies, to moderate, deplatform, or otherwise suppress speech that the federal government did not approve. Under the guise of combating misinformation, disinformation, and malinformation, the federal government infringed on the constitutionally protected speech rights of American citizens across the United States in a manner that advanced the government's preferred narrative about significant matters of the public debate. Government censorship of speech is intolerable in a free society. It goes on further to talk about policy details. It says, it is the policy of the United States to A, secure the right of the American people to engage in constitutionally protected speech, B, ensures that no federal government officer, employee, or agent engages in or facilitates any conduct that would unconstitutionally abridge the free speech of any American citizen, C, ensure that no taxpayer resources are used to engage in or facilitate any conduct that would unconstitutionally abridge the free speech of any American citizen, and D, identify and take appropriate action to correct past misconduct by the federal government related to censorship of protected speech. Now, it has been the opinion of conservatives over the past 4 years that their voice was being hampered, especially on social media. And so it was part of Trump's campaign to talk about restoring free speech for all Americans. In fact, Facebook even announced a change in their policy after Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, met with Trump prior to the inauguration. Facebook changed its fact-checking policy, among other things, in order to be in compliance with this new executive order. But why does it matter? Well, it matters because of the gospel of the kingdom. Well, why do I say that? Well, for instance, if the conservative voice, and in that conservative voice, would be those that would proclaim the gospel, the truth about the kingdom of God, and if that voice is suppressed, then the gospel cannot be evangelized in a proper way. And in some cases, the gospel was labeled as hate speech or put into a hate speech category or fact-checked as such. And so when this opens up, it creates a window of opportunity for those who proclaim the gospel of the kingdom, those who proclaim Jesus, to speak freely and openly once again, that they would not be hampered and their voices would be heard proclaiming the truth. For those who believe in Jesus, who follow him, their work is to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. It's in Matthew 28. They have a commission, a mission to proclaim the gospel to the entire world. This window of opportunity that the Trump administration is affording the church is a focus or an ability to reach more people by proclaiming the good news about the kingdom of God. Now, what we have to remember is that there is a battle surrounding the good news. There's always been a battle. There's a battle amongst mankind that the gospel message is opposed. And there's also a spiritual battle related to the gospel of the kingdom. Let me give you some scripture that relates to the battle as described by Jesus. Listen to this. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John. That's Matthew 11, 12 to 13. Now, it may not make sense to you, having heard it for maybe the first time in a while, that somehow heaven suffers violence, or that violent men can somehow do something to heaven. The message that Jesus spoke, that he came to earth to speak, was a message from heaven. It was the good news about the kingdom of God. And it was good news because the king, the future king of Israel, the future king of the world, Jesus, was there on earth. And so what would happen? Well, that message was opposed. The message of the gospel, the one that came from heaven, was suffering violence, meaning it was being violently opposed. Well, in case you didn't know, John the Baptist was the first to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. Now, let me give part of that same scripture in a different translation. Listen to this. And from the time John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing and violent people are attacking it. So this would say, in clearer language, that the message, the good news about the gospel of the kingdom was forcefully advancing. Why? Well, because John the Baptist spoke it, then Jesus spoke it, then his disciples spoke it, then the church is supposed to be speaking it, and it's advancing forward, and it's opposed. It's being attacked, and it's being attacked in this modern age. And so when we're censored from speaking the truth on a social media platform that allows anything about Satan or things that would be of evil origin to be spoken freely, then we have an issue and we know that it's being opposed. And let's face it, today's public square is social media. People are not going out to the street corner and having debates about philosophical issues or religious issues or life issues. They are literally talking about those things on online platforms. That's what's going on in this day and age. And so there's another place that records Jesus's words in relation to this type of thing, that this idea that there was a message proclaimed, the gospel of the kingdom, from the start of John the Baptist until now, and it's being opposed. Now let me read this one to you. It's from Luke 16, 16. It says, "The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the gospel of the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is forcing his way into it." Now, it may sound again a little bit different, right? Since John, the gospel of the kingdom has been preached, John came proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and the gospel has been preached ever since to the entire world. Now, again, we can do a clearer translation to give us more plain language about what's going on here. Listen to this. "Until John the Baptist, the law of Moses and the messages of the prophets were your guides. But now the good news of the kingdom of God is preached, and everyone is eager to get in." It gives it a little bit of a different spin, meaning the gospel is opposed. It's opposed by evil men or mankind or those that are opposed to it. And on the other side, the gospel is being proclaimed. The good news of the kingdom of God is being preached. And those who are not opposed to it, those who have an ear to hear and eyes to see, are eager for it. And this was the truth. This was the testimony that you would see biblically in the Gospels and in the book of Acts. There were people that responded to Jesus's words. There were people that responded to the apostles and early church leaders' words. They were there to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. And I also have to point out that while the message in the natural world was opposed, that there were people against Jesus speaking and the apostles speaking the gospel of the kingdom, we certainly see that played out in the Bible. Paul talks about what is really going on. And he tells us in Ephesians 6 that there's something more than what we understand in the physical, natural world happening. Listen to what he says in Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so he's trying to tell us, look, there are things that are going to happen. You're going to have trials and tribulation. There are going to be struggles in this world, but that's not our real battle. Our real battle is against an unseen realm of forces against God, against the good news of the kingdom of God, against mankind who speak this good news. And this is where we have to really focus our fight. He's trying to tell us and teach us that there is an unseen realm of evil that is working against us. It's the reason why he says rulers, powers, world forces of darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness, and he tells you it's in the heavenly places. There's more to what is going on than what we can see. And we have to really look and see what Paul said on how we fight it, because it's really important. Right before he tells us about the spiritual forces of wickedness, he's going to introduce the topic, and then he's going to address it right after. Listen to this. Finally, be strong in the Lord, and in the strength of his might, put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. That's Ephesians 6, 10-11. Then he talks about rulers, powers, spiritual forces of wickedness, and then he says this. Here's what you do in response. This is what Paul says to the church at Ephesus. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day and having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. That's Ephesians 6, 13-18. Now think about this. Paul is telling you there's this spiritual warfare going on in a realm you cannot see. It's in this heavenly realm. It's the battle we really need to pay attention to. And then he tells you how to do it, how to go about it. And he says things like, gird your loins with truth. And girding your loins is a very specific battle thing, because a Roman soldier, in order to go fight in the battle, would need to roll up the long tunic that they were wearing and put it where they could gird their loins so they could move and run and do the things they needed to do in battle. Putting on the breastplate of righteousness, being able to live right under God's kingdom, to live righteously. And not just the idea that Jesus paid the price so that we may be right with God, but living in a righteous manner, that righteous living would have an effect on the spiritual warfare around you, that our effort in living right according to God protects us. Also, the shodding the feet for the preparation of the gospel of peace, that there is something you're doing in warfare when you share the gospel, when you prepare to be able to talk about the gospel, that you know the truth and you speak the truth. There is something important about that. Taking up the shield of faith, that you know that you can protect yourself because you have trust in God, and it extinguishes the flaming arrows of the evil one. This is the idea that you are going to be challenged by spiritual forces of evil in the dark places. You are going to be opposed. And when you have faith, that God is going to protect you. It extinguishes those arrows. The helmet of salvation protecting your head, that you know, that you know, that you know that you are saved, that Jesus paid the price for your sin, and that you have a heavenly destination for your life. And finally, the sword of spirit, the word of God, the idea that the word of God has power, that it's not only the truth that's in your heart, which is where it starts, but the idea that the truth of God spoken, the truth of God, the word of God is powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And finally, the work we need to do, prayer and petition at all times in the spirit, right? Perseverance and petition for the saints, for you, for your family, for the church, for people you know that are being opposed. So what we know in all of this is that Paul tells us there's a heavenly battle. There's an unseen realm battle. He tells us what to do about it. And the thing that really comes down to on what we do about this is to basically be a disciple of Jesus. All of these things that a Roman soldier, this picture of a Roman soldier putting on all this armor, is really putting on Jesus. It's putting on Christ Jesus and being his disciple. This is what allows us to fight this battle. Now, I want to make sure that we conclude and think about this. And this really comes all the way back to Trump's executive order. There is a window of time for the church, for the people of God, for those that follow Jesus to proclaim the gospel. We shouldn't waste any time because it may not last forever. It may not even last for 4 years. We're going to have this window of opportunity where we're not going to be hampered. It's kind of like the story of Joseph in Egypt. Joseph got a vision and a dream of drought that he told Pharaoh that there would be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of drought. We don't know what timeline we're going to have, but there is a window starting right now where the gospel's not going to be hindered like it was for the past couple of years. And so we must take advantage of that for as long as we can because it will turn. Why do I say that? It'll turn because the Bible said it will turn. The Bible is going to prophesy that the gospel message will continue to be hampered, but it will get to a point where people will be thrown in jail because of the gospel message, that people will be put to death because of the gospel message, that people will be banished from their country, from their home, from their place because of the gospel message. This is all prophesied in the Bible. At some point, Satan will have a greater attack on the gospel message. It is going to happen. What we should focus on now is a time of plenty when we have the ability to come in and share the good news of the kingdom of God. Well, I want to thank you for joining me on this episode. Until next time, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you for being a part of this episode of the Field Journal Podcast, a production of Truth of the Kingdom. And while we've reached the end of our journey today, the conversation continues at truthofthekingdom.com. Until next time, may the kingdom story be your source of truth and hope, no matter what's happening around you.